Chapter 40. Chapter 40. Awakening. Awakening.
Kale fell without a sound. Trigg watched him drop, growing smaller, a teardrop against the expanse. As the semi-darkness swallowed him up, the silhouette only partially illuminated by the faint lights surrounding the engine turbine, Trigg saw what he hadn't seen earlier down below. Upturned faces. Thousands of them. They were, as they always must have been, clustered down at the bottom, on either side of the turbine, as if drawn to the ghost of its now absent hum. Even through his veil of shock, the delayed reaction to what had just occurred, Trigg knew what he was looking at. It was the original crew of the Star Destroyer. They were screaming up at him as one. At that same second, Kale's body hit the turbine and bounced, flopping off the side and disappearing into the teeming morass of bodies. The resulting sound was an even louder scream, like a single entity awakening and achieving a kind of brute, mass consciousness, awareness that hardly progressed beyond the immediate physical needs. Their breathing wafted up toward him in invisible gradations of damp warmth, their hunger seeping through the air like thermals rising before a storm.
They see me.
Already they began to reach up toward him, the moaning noise becoming more aggressive, rising in pitch and volume, to find that steady, now familiar waveform. Shifting and swaying, some of them began attempting to climb up the sides of the turbine itself in an effort to get closer to him. Some appeared to be holding things, but at first, Trigg didn't know what the objects were. Just as he started pulling himself back into the vent, thinking he could at least backtrack far enough to evaluate his options, the blasters started firing. They were shooting at him, and their aim was deadly accurate. Before he could start crawling inside, Trigg felt the vent shaft jerk and burst open in front of him, squealing free of its soldered housing and dumping him straight out. He toppled out the end without being able to grab onto anything, and for a moment he was falling through space. One final trajectory echo of his big brother. He hit the catwalk hard, and it doubled him up upon impact, chiseling shards of pain up through his ankles and legs. Trigg grabbed it and held on, fingers curled into the cold latticework, clamping down on it with his entire body. He could both hear and feel the blaster bolts resonating through space around him. One of them was going to hit him, and he could only hope the blaster killed him before he fell into that far-off mass of outstretched hands and gnashing mouths. He wanted to be dead before that happened. All around him, the catwalk shook and bonged with the impact of the blasters. Chips of durasteel streaked past his cheek, tiny cold specks of pure velocity. He wasn't thinking clearly at all anymore, and that might have explained why he didn't react immediately when he saw Han and Chewie at the far end of the catwalk, staring back at him.
They must have just come back down from the command bridge.
Trigg's mind droned dazedly. I guess things didn't work out so well up there, either. Han could definitely see him, Trigg knew. He was waving at him frantically, either to move forward or stay down. Trigg wasn't sure. Meanwhile, what exactly was the plan? Both Han and Chewie had blasters, but two weapons hardly mattered against the blitz of firepower below them. They might as well have been as unarmed as Trigg himself, and neither of them appeared to be willing to venture back out onto the catwalk in the middle of all this. Not that Trigg blamed them. Trigg narrowed his eyes. Han was gesticulating even more desperately now, shouting at the top of his lungs. He was pointing up, up, and when Trigg tilted his head straight up, he saw the last section of vent shaft dangling loose from above, swinging back and forth. Hands were reaching out of it. Trigg thought of the mountain of corpses on the other end of the shaft, how it had started coming to life as he'd climbed it.
They followed me down the shaft.
He watched in mute and suffocating terror as the owner of the hands slithered out. It was an Imperial soldier, its dead face lit with urgency. Clamoring for Trigg, it rocked back and forth inside the dangling vent, lost its balance, and then fell out, hands scrabbling furiously as it fell past him, plummeting down into the blackness. Three more Imperials squirmed free after that, spilling out like hideous, fully formed offspring from some unthinkably fertile ovipositor. The vent section swung back again, and this time Trigg realized that whatever was inside it was actually waiting for the vent to arc forward before it jumped. so it could use that last ounce of forward momentum to grab him as it sprang free from it. The corpse launched itself at him, too fast for Trigg to see its face, and he plastered himself to the wall, feeling claw-like fingers scrape and smear across his torso. The thing snapped its fist around his leg, and this time, it held on. Trigg looked down. For an instant, the only thing he could see was the limp sack of bruise-colored flesh that had once been its face, staring up at him. The place where the piercings had been ripped out. The gaping leech maw of its mouth. When the mouth opened, Trigg could still see the glint of steel piercing up through his gullet. The blade that Kale had shoved up through there, what felt like 1,000 years ago.